We thank you and we praise your name. And so be with us now like you were with the children of Israel. You never left them, Lord God, and you will not leave us because we are called your children. Speak a word for us in these troubling times. Speak a word for us in all times. Take hold of us, Lord God, and let us feel your spirit here among us. And then put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, Lord God. You are our Savior, you are our Lord, you are our Redeemer, you are everything that is good and righteous that we need. In Christ's name, amen. We give God thanks and praise today. I was thinking, Susan, this moment I was thinking that, you know, I am dragging a little bit. My energy level is a little bit low. I think, Susan, maybe because we were in 2 days of Zoom class. We are working on a project ministry. Hopefully it will get approved by the conference for our church. That could do many things, new things and exciting things in the community, because we do believe that God is going to move us forward. And so on Friday, we went in that Zoom training from 12 o'clock until 5:30. They give you a couple breaks between, but it's a long time to look at the screen, even though we get a little bit. And yesterday, we were there from 8:30, 9 o'clock, I believe, Susan, until almost 6, 5:30. Got off several times. So by that time, you're emotionally, right? Mentally, I should say, mentally, from all the things we had to do. We had to be in these rooms and breakout rooms. I think Susan is tired of seeing me, and I'm tired of seeing her. And yet we have to video something for them for tomorrow. We'll visit it tomorrow. But thanks be to God for his faithfulness and for the work that we're all trying to do, ministries in our community. Not just Susan and I, there were several from all the districts we represented. We happen to be the church chosen for Long Island. We are the only one from Long Island. So we give God thanks and praise for that. So here we are, and so this is the I am going on God's strength, the Holy Spirit. And for many of you who are members of our church, in the midst of all of that, on Friday night, Elaine Surrett passed away. We know that we had been waiting. I had been told 2 weeks ago, week and a half, we knew that she had been gotten very sick and suddenly, and they were waiting. But they called after I came off that class, so between the class yesterday, trying to figure it out. So Elaine Surrett, the funeral will be on Tuesday at 9:30 here. It will be, we have to, the numbers are for family. Pray for the family. You do remember Tom Surrett, and then that went a couple years ago, Elaine Surrett, long-standing members here. Could you please remember Andrew Surrett and the sister Carol Hatton? Remember the family in your prayers. Amen. And so Missy and I will work out some things for the funeral on Tuesday and to have a little service here. So God is with us all the time, even in the midst of these times. So let me begin. My sermon title today is No Other Name, No Other Name. And I want to just start with a very short reflection. It says, getting in on God's goodness. There are two ways the Bible say that we can get to heaven. See, I never even know that there were two ways, but you'll see what the writer means. Plan A is to earn it. You know, because there's a scripture that says people think they could, you know, work their way into heaven, right? That's the performance plan. And to earn it, you only have to do this. Never sin and always do what's right for the entire time that you live, right? Just be perfect. Since none of us qualify for plan A, God came up with plan B, which is this. Because you know none of us can be perfect. There are folks who think they're perfect, but trust me, they're not. You trust Jesus Christ when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He was the only perfect person who ever lived because he was God. He came so we could know what God is like. And by trusting and establishing a relationship with him, you get in his goodness. You get in on his goodness by trusting him and believing him and accepting him as our Lord and Savior. We get in on his goodness. One writer wrote this little thing, short little story. He says he had a friend who would always take him to lunch, take him out to eat, and he always wanted to pay. Every time he says, "I've got the check. I've got the check." And he would say, "Can't I just pay, please? I want to pay." He says, "No, I've got the check. Next time." Next time he would go and take him out, he says, "I've got the check. Next time." He says he never was able to pay the check because there was never a next time. And so he reminds us here, he said at the end of this little story, that Jesus got the check. Right, amen? Jesus got the check for us. There is no next time for us to pay it. He paid it once and for all. He's got the check. No matter what we do, Jesus has got the check. The songwriter says, "He is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And so today I want to begin my focus with the Philippians text. You see, he is Lord. That hymn, they're saying it's an old hymn, that those words were taken from an old hymn that Paul would use in Philippians. That section of Philippians that I'm going to reference in my preaching has those words. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. You see, Apostle Paul was in prison when he was writing to thank and encourage the Christians in Philippi. He was in prison. And unfortunately, Paul would never come out of prison that time in Rome. He's going to end up being, you know, martyred there. They face their own trials, the Philippians, and have had their own problems. They, like many churches today, had some petty disagreement and selfishness. Within the church, even with their trials, there were petty disagreement and selfishness going on. Paul therefore now points them to a better approach to interpersonal relationships and gives them three examples that they can imitate. Paul did not want them to imitate him. He did not want them to imitate the pastor or the elders. He wanted them to imitate Christ. So Paul begins by reminding them of blessings they have been given by Christ. He says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose." So he said, if you know Jesus Christ, if you of God receive love and compassion from Christ, if you receive tenderness from Christ, then we must be of the same mind, church, like Christ, right? He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to yourself, your own interests, but to the interests of others. You know what has broken many church friends? It's not money. Oftentimes, people looking out for their own self-interest. Many times in churches, it's people come and join, and sometimes it's all about them. Not about what is better for the church. Not about what is right. And Paul is saying here, Paul is not just asking them to think like one another, as he will soon explain. He wants them to what? To be like-minded with Christ. Can you imagine if all of us would be like-minded with Christ? The world would be a better place, wouldn't it? To be encouraging, that we should be encouraging and comforting, sharing tender and tenderness and compassion, and be compassionate as Christ is. Paul wants them to have the same kind of love Christ has for us. That they should have this, we should have the same kind of love that Christ has for us, friends. Being like him in attitude and goals. Can you imagine? Do you get up in the mornings, even before you come to church or any morning, and you say, Christ, Lord Jesus, I've not been all I can be yesterday, but today I'm going to strive to be like you. And go to his word, how can I be like you, Christ? How could I be kinder? How could I be more loving? How could I treat those around me better to be like Christ? Paul is appealing to them. This is the only sure way to be united with one another. You see, and Paul was saying that when the Philippians put this into practice, that his joy would be complete. And then he continues. He wanted, the scholars call this passage the Philippian hymn. It's a hymn, you see, because its style and rhythm caused some to think that Paul is adopting words that Christians were already singing, words of praise for Christ Jesus. So here's what he does now. He says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, now here is his argument, right? He lays his sentence out and then he supports it, right? You know when you write a good paper and you lay your statement out and then you have to support it with the pros and cons. Now Paul is going to support it in his only pros. You see here, he says, who, though he was in the form of God, though Jesus was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He was in the form of God, but he knew that he could not exploit God. But he emptied himself, oh glory to God, taking the form of a slave. That Jesus would empty himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Isn't that his whole story for us? And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He lays it out. He says, this is the person I'm trying to tell you to emulate. A person who is full of humility, Jesus Christ, who would empty himself unto death on a cross. As I read this last night, you see, Paul uses these words to remind the writers of the example they are to follow. Someone who was divine, having the greatest of honor, yet who did not cling to his rights and his privileges. He was divine, but he would give up all those rights and privileges for you and for me. And then so he goes on and he says, therefore, God highly exalted him. Oh, glory today. Our Savior is exalted, you see, and gave him the name above every name. There's only one name that is above every name this morning. No matter what anybody tell you, don't try to figure out other people's religion. Don't waste your time trying to explain. There is only one name for us that's above every other name. And the name isn't bishop, and the name isn't DS, and the name isn't pastor, and the name isn't lay member. There's only one name. He gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, hallelujah, at the name of Jesus this morning, you know, I'm excited about this, and I'll tell you soon. Every knee shall bend or bow. every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so though the Philippians, you hear that beautiful rhythm in that. You hear the beautiful rhythm in those words. And though the Philippians had important rights as citizens of the Romans colony, they were to focus on others, not on themselves. God was saying, Paul was saying here through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how big we are. It doesn't matter how we are the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if we're over the Senate. It doesn't matter if we're over the Congress. It doesn't matter if we're the general, the Surgeon General of the United States. It doesn't matter if we're over the Army. It doesn't matter. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue must confess. Even those of us who are nothing in the eyes of other people, that Jesus Christ is Lord. In case we need to get to heaven. Now, friends, I thought about this last night as I was doing this yesterday. I thought about it with Elaine Surrett. We started our Bible study here over a year and a half ago, I think, in the mornings. And Elaine was faithful to that Bible study. And we did Philippians, because we did every book in the New Testament, one gospel, but every letter, every from Acts to Revelation, which we were. And I thought of her reading these words, and she always did her homework. She was faithful. You see, there are people you can't teach them anything because they know everything. You know, there are people you cannot teach. You see, I will teach, but I'm a learner. Susan can tell you. I listen. I'll go to any class. I'll sit, even though sometimes what they're saying, I'll say in my back of my brain, I know that, but I say, all of a sudden I'll get a nugget because they'll say one thing. And I says, oh my God, isn't that special? I didn't see that. That is what has driven my life and my career forever. I never believed that I could not sit at somebody's feet and listen. I've got a good mind. God has blessed me. But there are those who have a better mind. God has touched them also. And so I thought of Elaine coming to that Bible study. And that she always did her homework. Faithfully, those who come would know every week she would do it. So I thought of the Philippian text. And I went back to look at some of the questions we asked from them. Because when we do the homework, we ask questions. And I said to myself, has she lay there for 2 weeks? Waiting. They said she was waiting to go home to be with the Lord. That these words became real for her. Oh, glory to God, this morning I give God the privilege and the honor that I had the opportunity to walk with her and open the Word of God with her. That God would use me, a nobody, an humble servant, that I could walk through the lines of the Scripture with her and tell her that Jesus loved her, that He is Lord, Lord now and forever. And that he was ready to receive her whenever, because I could not go to see her because of COVID. But I knew the word had been spoken into her spirit. The word of God through the Holy Bible, friends. That she knew her Savior in her own quiet way. And I give God thanks for his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. For how many times we read these words together, for he is Lord. And that he sits, as we read the book in Revelation, as we study now, tells us that the Lamb of God sits on the throne, and that he waits for those who believe in him to receive him into their arm, and that he has received Elaine into his kingdom today. That is the hope I have this day, to know that she's with him. That he opened up the doors of heaven and she entered. Because he is Jesus Christ and he is Lord. Lord yesterday, Lord today, and Lord forevermore. That is my hope. You all won't be at the funeral. But my strength comes from the Lord. Knowing that these words were precious to her. That she received them. She was faithful and she understood them. And so today I thank God for the privilege and opportunity to teach her, to journey with her, for her to teach me together as we study God's word. For He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. And Bible reminds us that He sits on the right hand of God the Father. And He makes intercession for us. There's no way I could have done 60-something, almost 70 funerals in my ministry and not have the hope of Christ. I would not survive. But to know that for each person who dies believing in Him, He receives them into heaven because He is Lord. And so as I close, Jesus reminds us, He says, even prostitutes or taxpayers, tax collectors will get in if they believe. What Jesus is saying here, everybody can get in if they believe. That's all He's saying in that part. Everyone can get in, even the ones that they thought were the lowest level, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, they too can get in because He is Lord and He would empty Himself. He emptied out unto death on a cross for you and for me this day, friends. Oh, we give Him thanks, yes. We thank You. We say, thank You, Jesus, for Your great sacrifice. For He is Lord and He is risen from the dead. And because He is risen from the dead, we serve a risen Savior. And He's in the world with you and me today. But not only is He in the world, He is in heaven, receiving those who die in Christ because they do not die alone. And so I imagined, they says she had been waiting and waiting. They told me 2 weeks ago she was going. But she waited and waited, and I could just see Jesus sitting right there at her bed waiting. Just say, come, Elaine, it's time. I'm bringing you home, no more pain. The revelation tells us there'd be no more weeping, no more crying, no more pain. My tears are tears of joy, knowing that she died, knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And that should be the hope of all of us, to die knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God for His faithfulness. Amen.